Good morning, church.
Good morning.
How are you?
Blessed.
Very good. I also want to take just a moment and say if you can have a few minutes to stay afterwards, I think you'll be blessed. So a lot of good work has been gone into the LTC and the productions and the things are going to be done here, and I'm looking forward to seeing them. I didn't make the trip up to Dallas, so this will be my first time. So I'm excited about that. If you can stay, you will be blessed. I promise. How's that? Okay. I want to jump right into it. We've been looking at Matthew, and I thought I can't leave Matthew without looking at the last little bit. So we're going to be in chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. I just couldn't leave it alone. So one more in Matthew, okay? Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, what I want to do is start off with a question this morning is, what's your authority? And what I mean by that is not necessarily the authority you have, but what authority do you recognize? Okay? What authority do you recognize? In other words, we set ourselves up a lot of different ways in life. For some people, if they were very honest, they'd say, "Well, my authority is myself." My authority is myself. And that might be the basis to what they want to live with. You might say that in this world, an authority for a lot of people is money. Money talks, and a lot of people listen, don't they? Yeah. We've been working on extending the driveway at our house, and we've been having to go through the county, and now we've got to go through the HOA to get the permits. They're an authority that I have to recognize and deal with. It's not a lot of fun sometimes because it really drags out, but there's an authority there. Yeah. Is there any circumstance in life that you can think of where a pair of twos beats four aces in a game of poker? If the guy that has the pair of twos is holding a gun. Got it? A Smith & Wesson beats four aces every time. Yeah. I mean, there's a certain authority there, right? If the guy has a gun, he has a certain level of authority. Okay? In this text this morning, the first thing I want us to deal with is Jesus says, what authority has been given to him? All. Heaven and earth. All authority has been given to him. And the thing that is important for us this morning, and I think is the important thing out of this whole text, is we need to decide who is our authority. And the answer this morning better be Christ. It better be Christ. Simple. I'm not saying it's easy to live that out. We good? Difference between simple and easy? We've talked about that before. But the answer is your authority is in Christ. He is your authority. Now see, here's the thing that I want to stop with for just a moment and let us realize. Typically, when we read this passage, we think the focus is going to be on go and spreading the gospel. That's the way I've always heard it taught, always heard it preached. I am suggesting to you this morning, the important thing in this text, now I'll explain this more later in a moment. The important thing in this text is not the go, it's the authority that Jesus has. Okay? That's the important thing in this text. That's the thing we ought to pick up on. That's the thing we ought to realize. He has authority. All authority on heaven, in heaven and on earth. And that's the important thing in this text that we've got to pick up on first. If we don't get that, everything else from this point is going to be, well, it's not really going to be done very well, is it? Because what he's going to ask us to do in the rest of this text isn't always that easy. But we got to do it because of the recognition of authority. Now, what I want you to do for a moment is look at the text. And if you come to verse 16, because this maybe will bring it out here a little bit. Now, what I want you to do is I looked at several translations. At verse 16, it starts off with a little word, then. Okay? Now, I looked around, and I think the New American Standard has the word but there. Okay? And that word can be translated then, or it can be translated but, either way. Okay? Now, but's a very important word in our language because it's kind of a disjunctive, right? In other words, I can say all kinds of pleasant things about you as a person. Then when I say, but, everything that I just said before just got wiped out, didn't it? In other words, I'm fixing to really tell you what I really think, right? Okay. What if we put but at the beginning of that sentence instead of then? Because if you look right previous to that, what do you notice? Previous to that, what's happened in the text? Jesus has been raised. He's alive. The authorities killed him, and he is now alive. And right previous to this, what do you notice? The authorities are doing their best to cover it up. They are doing their best, their dead level best to cover up. They are paying off the guards, and they are starting a rumor. And Matthew says, and it's said among the Jews to this day. But the disciples went down to Galilee as the Lord had commanded them. You see the disjunctive there? In other words, there's two reactions to the authority of Jesus, isn't there? You discredit it, you cover it up, and you recognize, I am not going to live under it. Or you go do what he told you to do. And in this particular case, they had been told to go down to Galilee and he'd meet with them there. So just run through that for a moment there, because I think that then probably does us a disservice in terms of reading the thing. These guys are doing a cover-up, but the disciples go and do what Jesus asked them to do. Okay? So look at it that way and notice that. You see, the thing that is important for the rest of this text is if we can get our authority right, we can get the rest of it right. If we can get our authority right, we can get the rest of it right. Now, when we do that, now, once we've got that settled, and I hope we have, that he has the authority, then when he says go, and he says go to all, and again, I want to correct something here in the translation. It says go to all nations, probably means all peoples. Very often we hear that word nation, we think of Russia and this type of thing. It means all peoples. Earlier in Matthew, like in the limited commission, when Jesus sent them out two by two, he said, you don't go to all nations, or you don't go to all peoples. In other words, earlier in Matthew, there was actually a limit. There was a pullback. Same word. You don't go to them. I just want you to go to Israel. At the end of the gospel, when he's sending them out again, because they've got to remember, he sent them out in 10 on a mission. Now he's sending them out and he's saying, you go to where? Everybody. Everybody. Yeah, now that means sometimes we have to go to nations and things like that. But understand that more as you go to all people. All people. Here's the question. If we've got the authority thing straight, is this go business optional? Not a trick question. Is the go business optional for us, church? No. It is not optional. But now, what are we supposed to go and do? We go and we make disciples. We make disciples. Could probably have a whole interesting sermon on just this idea alone about disciples. I don't want to quibble over words, but I'd like to suggest to you there's probably a little more to a person that's a disciple than somebody that's just a believer. Folks, the devil and his angels believe the same things you do. They know Christ is risen. What do you think? They just don't recognize his lordship. See the difference there, what I'm getting at? Between there are a lot of people that believe, and you might could find somebody this week in You With Life that believes very much the same thing you do, and they're not a disciple. Make sense? Yeah. Make disciples. And one of the things I want to suggest to you is if you're going to make a disciple, you better be one first. I think it's going to be very hard for someone to make a disciple who isn't a disciple. Yeah. Let's define it another way. A disciple is someone who is, and I'm going to use it this way, in the process of learning to look like their master. Somebody that is in the process of looking like their master. Because who you submit yourself to very likely is who you're going to wind up looking like. Okay? And we didn't have time. I think Rob Bell did a great video one time in the Numa series where he talked about dust. And he used the idea that he talked about if you were a disciple, if you had discipled yourself to someone back in those days, it meant you followed him. And in that day, it meant a lot of dust. In other words, he's walking down the road, the master's going first, and he's leaving dust for you to be. He says, is the dust of your master on you? That was an interesting way to put it there. He says, a disciple is someone that has the dust of their master all over their body because they're following him. So that's the 12-minute version he does in the video in about 30 seconds, okay? Is the dust of the one you're following all over you, okay? So you got to be a disciple to make one. So how are we doing so far? Who's got the authority? Jesus. What has he told us to do? Go. Okay? What has he told us to do after we go? We are to make disciples. I suggest you, implicit in that, is you better be one. Okay? You better be one. Alright? Now, none of this is optional, folks. None of this is optional. Is being a disciple optional? No. It's not an optional type of thing. Then he goes into the text here a little further, and we talk about this idea. So in other words, you've got our structure here, authority, go, being a disciple, making disciples, and then he starts talking a little bit about how do you do that? How do you do that? And the next thing you see is he says, I want you to be baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, again, baptism is a big topic in the New Testament. There's a lot of things we could say. We could talk about for the remission of sins. We could talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit. We could talk about being buried with Christ in his death, risen to walk in a newness of life. We could talk about Galatians and how you clothe yourself with Christ. In the context of this passage, what does baptism relate to? Do you submit to the authority of Jesus Christ? See it there? If this whole text is about authority and either recognizing or not recognizing Jesus' authority, do you see here, why are you baptizing these people? Because it is a recognition to themselves and the world of who is their Lord. Who is now the authority they're going to have to listen to? And very often for those in that early Christian community, especially as it went along and it went out into the rest of that world, that meant something because they really did have to make some choices. Their authorities collided. Sometimes they had to make some choices about who was going to be their authority. And we've probably been given some luxuries today they didn't have. Although maybe we have to do it in more subtle ways. But do you see that there? You go, you make disciples. And what's the point of baptism here in this context? Like I say, there's a lot of things that can hinge on baptism and what it means. But in this particular context, what's it about? Owning Jesus as your Lord. Is baptism optional? You see what they're doing here through the text? But there's one more thing here that's very important. What else is it there? And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Is it enough to baptize them, folks? No, not a trick question. We then have to teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now again, let's tie that back in. Let's make it explicit here. To obey everything he has commanded means we better be doing it first. People see through this business of practice. I mean, in other words, if people practice what they preach. The interesting thing there, of course, when we start talking about authority and obeying. Now, can't prove this one, but this is just where my imagination takes over for just a moment. Do you remember any other important mountain scenes in Matthew? Well, you got the Transfiguration. But the one I'm going to, and I've been coming back to this time and time again as we've looked at Matthew, that first sermon, where was it given? On the mount. Where was that mountain located? Galilee. Now, I don't know for sure if that's the one he commanded them to go back to. But in my mind, I've tried to picture them, or I imagine them this way, where he gave them that Sermon on the Mount, which was his address, which was, I've told y'all before, it's kind of like the inaugural address the president does. That is Jesus laying out what kingdom is about. I kind of imagine them back in that same spot. Because if you'll remember, there's even hints in the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus finishes up his Sermon on the Mount, he gives that thing about the wise man built his house upon the rock and the foolish man built his house on the sand. And of course, the whole point of that is, who's going to be the wise man? The one that does what I have just preached to you. The one that does what I have just preached to you. And when the whole sermon is finished, what are the people walking around saying? We have never heard anyone speak with such, what, church? Authority. Authority. You see? We have never heard one speak with such authority. And if you look at the Sermon on the Mount, there's a lot of that going on. You have heard it said, but I tell you. You have heard it said, but I tell you. Yeah. So you see why that's important to Jesus? It's not just a matter of we got to get them in the water. We've also got to what, church? Teach them. And if we're going to teach them, we've got to do what? Live it. Live it. Okay? Now, if we get the authority thing right in this text, is anything I've said this morning optional? It's not a trick question. The answer is no. It's not optional. Of course, there's one other thing here that I think is important in this text. Jesus says He's going to be with us. Says He's going to be with us. And if you'll remember, the other important thing that happens very early in Matthew is He is to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And here at the end, what is Jesus promising? I will be with you till when? End of the age. Yeah. So in carrying all this out, we're not alone. In fact, if you want to go back to Rob Bell's illustration, hopefully we're still today getting the dust of our Master on us as we travel and follow along behind Him. Hopefully His dust is just covering us so people will know who we've been following. Yeah. Well, I want to use our time well this morning to allow for LTC, so we'll stop there. You got it? What's important in this text? Authority. Who has it? And once He's established that, what He tells us to do is not optional in our lives. And I think if we can end Matthew that way, we've got it. We've got it, what Matthew has been trying to drive home all this time. All right. We've got the song selected. We're going to sing that in just a moment. If there is any need this morning, let us know. I'll be waiting at the back. Will Ed will be there with me. Let's stand and sing. Come on.